Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Kathleen Madigan. Fine comic appearing at the Chicago Theater. Kathleen, that's a big deal. That's a big theater. What are you doing?
I know. That's what I said when they booked it. I'm like, hey now, let's not go crazy. And I asked my mom and dad, I said, you know, it's the first time I'm doing the Chicago Theater, and they're in St. Louis. And I go, you guys going to come up? And my dad goes, not unless they move the Chicago Theater to Florida.
No,
your mother and I will.
What kind of attitude is that?
For the winter. I'm like, come on, you can fly up for the weekend. That's fine.
But isn't it one of those places that you always know about and you say to yourself, well, you know who plays there is the professionals. The big names play there, and now you're headlining it.
Yeah, it's a little surreal. It really is. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, that's for, like, you know, superstar people, you know, Anita Baker, Seinfeld. And then there's the next level of us. Like, we're at theaters, but we're not at that theater.
Yeah.
Ron is there the night before. Ron White, my friend for 30 years. It's just strange that all of us really accomplished anything. Really? When you think about us just right. Sitting in bars smoking cigarettes, I can't believe any of this. Like, I mean, we all started in Chicago at Zanies on Wells across the street from all the clubs around that corner, and we just drank at that bar literally till daylight.
Sure.
We would drink at that bar in Chicago till daylight.
Yep.
Yeah, it was great because all the comics would go there. The Second City guys would go there and women, and we could all just hang out and drink all night long.
It's a good time for everybody.
Yeah, it was.
Are you still enjoying this? I was lucky enough to see you early on in your career, work with you once or twice, and I always said to myself, if she doesn't make it, something's very wrong, and now you've made it. So are you still enjoying it? I hope you are.
I'm having so much fun, and if you follow like my goofy Instagram and Twitter, like all those videos, it's why I still like the road. I mean, there's a million cities I've been to a million times, but now I like going to those because I have friends there. And then if it's new cities, I'm excited to go because it's new. I just like travel. I would travel anyway. I just happen to be able to get paid, which is great.
And Bill, that's kind of why you stopped doing stand-up, much to our disapproval, because you're very funny.
Oh, thank you.
But Bill didn't like hitting the road. You really, truly enjoy it, don't you?
Yeah, I get very bored. I said my sister had twins, and I went home to help her, and I signed up for 3 weeks that I would help her because she couldn't drive and all this stuff because of the cesarean, blah, blah, blah. And after about 2 weeks, I said, I just realized I haven't been in one place, doesn't matter where, I haven't been in one place for more than 2 weeks since I was 22 years old. My sister's like, that's why you're a freak. Like, do you get that? Do you understand how freakish that statement is, Kathleen? Even flight attendants can't say that. And I said, well, yeah. She goes, is this your way of telling me you're getting bored and leaving early? I said, no. I said, I am getting a little bored with the repetition.
Yeah.
But I'm not leaving early. I'm not going to go back on my word. I'm going to watch these girls for 3 weeks, and then I'm leaving.
Didn't you want to be a flight attendant? That, according to IMDb, which sometimes turns
No, that's actually true, yeah. But I lied about my height and said I was 5'2", and I'm not. And I'm 5'1 and a half, and I got caught. I got caught at the Bell. And then my gay guy friend goes, didn't you know to put lifts in your shoes? I go, no. How would I have known that? No. Yeah, it was too short, half inch. I mean, I don't even know if that's still the rule, but that TWA, that's how old I am. That was the rule.
You would think the smaller the better, because it's hard getting, you know, in and out of those aisle seats and stuff. You'd think smaller would be better.
I think I'm too short to help people with their luggage.
Probably
the drawback.
Maybe.
But they haven't seen me throw luggage. I'm like, you didn't even give me a chance.
Well,
how do you think my luggage gets up there? Hello?
Yep, absolutely.
I throw it.
As long as we're talking about height and abilities, talk about the basketball contest you won many years ago. I'm very impressed by this.
Well, I won the Missouri / Midwest hoop shoot championship, but there were two big caveats. One, I was only like 4'7", and two, I did it underhand, and I'm not embarrassed about that. And three, this is why if you're from the Midwest and you're from a big family, nobody's ever going to the Olympics, because it takes too much time. I remember saying to my parents, hey, man, I signed up for this basketball free throw deal, and I won, and we have to go to Kansas City. We're in St. Louis. you would have thought I said we have to go to Poland. I mean, they were like, well, I mean, what? Because there's nine of us total. So yeah. If one does one, we all kind of, because we were little, I mean, we were 10, you got to go, and then there's littler kids. Like, there would be no way. When you see these stories about Olympians and, like, the whole family, which means three people, got up and went to practice every morning. I'm like, well, that is a luxury, because my parents didn't even know what sports we were in. More or less, like, facilitate them. They're like, oh, are you playing volleyball? You're kind of short for that. Yeah, I know. I signed up.
Do you think, Kathleen, that the Chicago Theater somehow got wind of you winning this contest and that led to you getting this booking?
It might have something to do with it. It's finally all come around, and I'm finally getting the accolades I should have for hitting 15 out of 15.
That's pretty good.
Come on.
That's pretty darn good.
What, was it a little tight set?
Well, you know, I still have the trophy to prove it, because when people don't believe me, I'm like, okay, well, I'll send you a picture of the trophy, and then you can apologize later.
But, I will.
You know, when all those years when Shaquille O'Neal couldn't make a free throw, I was literally screaming at the TV, underhand, just try it. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
No one in the NBA shoots that way, but why don't they? You're allowed to. There's no rule that says you can't.
No, you can, and there was a dude, because if you Google it, there was a dude who did it.
Who shot underhand.
And he scored a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah. I don't remember his name, but yes, there was a guy.
I'm surprised more guys don't do it that way. You can do it. You almost get better balance in the throw if you do it underhand.
Yeah, but once you master it, I played high school basketball. Yeah. Once you master it, it's easier to just do it the right way.
Unless you're Shaquille O'Neal, for some reason.
He cannot. They're called free throw.
Right.
They're supposed to come to you free.
Free points. Yeah, it's crazy. can we talk?
I think people are embarrassed by the form. I think,
maybe.
And I just had no. When you're 4'7", you have no shame. You're going to do what you got to do.
Kathleen, who have you worked with in all these years that you say to yourself, "This was somebody I idolized, and now I'm on the same stage as them"? Have there been a name or two like that?
Like as far as her initial stand up on Johnny Carson, I couldn't believe it. Like, when I grew up and did comedy, I got to work with Roseanne. That was like, because her TV show back in the day, I mean, you know, it was like she was a star.
It was the best show on TV. I loved her.
And she's funny, and she's still funny. I mean, like, she'll still go down to the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa in L.A. and do sets, and she's still funny. The jokes are good. They're funny jokes.
Do you think she'll rebound? Do you think we'll see her on TV ever again, or are those days over?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Now everything lasts a while, and then it goes away.
By the way, Rick Barry is the underhanded free throw player, thanks
Rick
to
Barry.
About 12 of our listeners.
Exactly.
Houston Rockets.
And he's opening for you at the Chicago Theater, correct?
I hope so. If he's around, he should come on down. I'll set up a basketball thing, and him and I can have a shoot-off.
That's a great way to close the show, you and Rick Barry shooting underhanded free throws.
That'd be great, right?
Who wouldn't love that? All right, so Roseanne was an idol you got to work with. Give me one more. Who's somebody else that you said, wow, I can't believe him and I or her and I on the same show?
I would say George Carlin and Gary Shandling.
Two of the best.
Great choices.
Two of the best.
Yeah, I loved, I knew Gary better than I knew George, but to just be in the green room, it was always at the Comedy Magic Club in L.A. usually, where those guys would wander down to do time, and then if sometimes I was the headliner, and they're like, do you care if I do time, which was so humble and sweet and obviously unnecessary for them to say, can I butt on your show? You should just have my show. I'll just get the salmon and sit in the back. This is crazy. So those kind of guys they're just smart and funny and nice people, like really fun to hang out with. Nice, nice people.
Isn't Gary Shandling one of those people that even though you know he's gone, when his name pops up somewhere, you catch yourself and you go, wait, he hasn't been, you forget.
Yeah, that was just the weirdest thing. Like, some aren't weird, sadly. You kind of see it coming.
You'd
like,
be Blake.
One of my best friends was John Panette. Well, we know John.
Love him.
You know, John was headed probably to hit a wall. We all know that, you know, but still when it happens, it's shocking. But Gary, I mean,
that came out of the blue.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, it was shocking that day. I was like, no, that can't be right.
Right.
You know, like, that's just some internet nonsense. Like, that, no. And then I started texting. Right, and then I just started texting people that would know for real, and I was like, oh my God.
Did you get to see the documentary, the HBO documentary they did about Gary Shandling?
I haven't seen it yet, and then I think, I don't know that I want to see it yet, but I will watch it at some point, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice look inside his life. It really is.
Maybe you can find it.
I just have to decide, like, it's like one of those things where you're like, do I really want to be sad for two hours right now? You know what I mean? Like, right. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe you can find it on Netflix next to Bothering Jesus, which is your special currently streaming. Did you like the little plug there?
I did. That was a good transition. That was an excellent transition. Yes, I have a special on Netflix. And if you pull it up, it will also tell you the movie that is most similar is the movie Leprechaun.
Oh, so, wow.
Right, which is... And that's a horror movie, in case you weren't paying attention, as I was not. Yeah.
What did they find in common with your special in the movie Leprechaun? What's the common denominator?
I don't have any idea. My brother said it's based on algorithms, and I said it's just blatant Irish racism.
Kathleen, I know you come from a very large family. Are there seven kids in the family?
Yes, that's correct.
Is anyone else in show business except for you?
No,
just
a few could be. There's five older kids, and then my parents had a mistake, and then a mistake to play with that mistake.
Oh.
So
they were good parents.
Yeah, because I said, why are you having another kid if you didn't mean to have this kid? Well, who's going to play with that kid? Not us. I'm like, oh, okay. I got it. That makes sense.
Do you recommend it if somebody has a chance between a larger family and a smaller family, would you recommend to them go larger?
Go large, go large. There's power in numbers.
Yes.
And you know, like, now I see, like, I have friends that, you know, 40s and 50s, and your parents are getting older. If you're an only child, that is all on you.
Yeah.
Pressure's
on.
You
know, I'm looking for it. I need it. And you know what? If you have, like, six siblings, even if you hate two, there's still four that you like.
What? Were there?
Those are good numbers.
Was there a lot of fighting going on? I have two boys. They're teenagers, and they fight, and then they get along, and then they fight. I can't imagine six or seven. Did you guys fight a lot?
Well, I didn't really fight with the boys. The boys fight amongst themselves. It seemed like a lot of pushing and shoving, and I just didn't get involved in any of that. I don't, you know, that's what they do, though. I mean, for
that's
a while.
Weird.
You
right.
know, and then they kind of grow out of it, and it's fine, but... It's a lot if you're going to be in charge of the seven. You know, we drove my mom to drink and smoke, and that's what got her through. Good for you.
Don't you think, though, that once you have more than, say, three or four, your odds of having one that's kind of doofusy, they increase dramatically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just saying it's like an army. The bigger your army, the odds are you're going to win. The more kids, the odds are you're going to have a couple winners.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I'm just saying you're playing an odds game here. And
yeah.
if you have to be involved in it, I'm very grateful that there's six other people. For even real life stuff, you know, if my mom or dad, they're sick or somebody needs help, we've got a whole army to pull on. I would suck if you're the only child. I mean, that is a lot of pressure.
Right.
It really is.
Right.
And I don't care about, like, my friend Chuck, he's like, yeah, but I got all the attention as a kid. I'm like, I don't want their attention. I don't know what kind of parents you had, but you know what? You fly over there, Jack and Vicky, and I'm flying over here. Don't you worry about what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I know in the past, Kathleen, you've worked overseas. You've done those USO tours. I don't know if you still, are you still involved in that, or is that something that you don't do anymore?
Yeah, no. I do them when they call.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I'd say thankfully, because Afghanistan and Iraq, the last ones I went on were getting kind of crazy. It's weird. They go through patterns where they're dangerous, and then they're kind of safer, and then dangerous and kind of safer. So I haven't gotten a call in a few years, so... you know, but I will always do it if they ask. I'll never say no.
That's so nice.
That is so nice. I mean, they're stuck there. Do you do a different show when it's for the troops?
Well, they told us we could do whatever we wanted, and there's no rules. But, yeah, I usually talk about this situation that we're presently in at that time, because they can't say it, because that would be, like, complaining. But
yeah.
I can say it, and then they can laugh at me saying it.
Oh,
so, yeah, I'll
cool.
talk about, like, you know, if it's a crappy environment, or like the whole Missouri National Guard was there, and I'm like, well, this is great for them, but who's guarding Missouri? What if those people in Arkansas get an ideal and try to attack us. We need to back Arkansas back down into its place. Like, it really was weird that they're like, oh, you're the Missouri person. Come meet the entire Missouri National Guard. Like, yeah, okay, that's nice. I want to meet them, but this is strange. Why are we all, you know, is anybody at home? What, the Mississippi floods? Come on, man.
I remember hearing you say years ago that when it came to the Civil War, you don't even know which side Missouri was on. You think they were just fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah, we would fight local. That was our wagon sticker. I really do. Even when you Google it, yeah, like, was Missouri Union or Confederate, even the answer's confusing. Like, I've Googled it 100 times. Like, some cities were Confederate, and then within the state,
yeah,
they couldn't get very indecisive. Yeah, very. Even, and we still are. They had a map of, like, who would take, I think it was Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
And then some states were blue, saying yes. Other states red, definitely not. Missouri was purple, which signified undecided. I'm like, guys, we still can't make up our minds.
Kathleen, we have to run. I'm just really curious. I've heard so many comics that I love, that I respect, guys like Colin Quinn, Jerry Seinfeld, say comedy's in trouble right now because of political correctness. Where do you stand on that? Do you think that's true or not true?
I don't agree with that. I think it's fine. I think as long as everybody's out there having a good time and laughing, everything, comedy's never gone away. It's never going to go away. Unless all of a sudden the world is taken over by unfun Germans, I think we're fine.
That's good news.
Congrats on the Chicago Theater. That's huge news. This Saturday, 8 p.m., to purchase tickets, just go to KathleenMadigan.com. Is that the best place to tell people you can?
Yeah, Yeah, or I think Chicago Theater has a website too, but they'll figure it out. It's awesome. I'm so excited. I can't believe it. First thing I'm going to do is run out and take a picture of the marquee, because, you know, I could get hit by a bus on Sunday, and it only happened once. Check my Instagram. There'll be plenty of little videos.
We'll be watching.
Thanks, Kathleen. Have a great show on Sunday.
Right.
Great talking to you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Kathleen Madigan. Again, the website is KathleenMadigan.com. You get your tickets there. We'll take a break, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.